Welcome, guys. My name is Noah. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from resentments. Hey, guys. I want to tell you a little story. I went to college in West Texas, all right? Abilene, if anybody in here is from the area. And Abilene is a lot like Dallas. It's, you know, in the summertime, it's about 1,000,000 degrees. In the winter, it's pretty cold, and then you get about 4 days in the middle there. That it's just glorious. And so I had my senior year, I had three roommates plus me for four guys. And one of them in particular, his name is Zach. Now, Zach is a good guy. If you knew Zach, you would say, good man, life of the party, gregarious, right? Great husband, leader in his church, discipling his boys. And yet for the past 10 or so years, every time I thought about Zach, my old roommate, I thought about one incident in particular, okay? And so he did what he normally does on one of these perfect, beautiful spring days. He said, hey, you know, let's have a barbecue. It's gonna be a ton of fun. Invite a bunch of friends over. And then as guys in their 20s are wont to do, he said, hey, I'm gonna make a nice, neat stack of the plates and stuff. I'm not actually gonna clean them. I'm just gonna stack them up neatly. And then I gotta leave town for 5 days and I'll clean them when I get back. And so we just all thought that was cool, right? Yeah, sure, whatever. And so about 3 days in, we start to realize, man, our house stinks. What is going on? And we kind of search through the house. Finally, we figure out it's coming from, you guessed it, the plates, right? And though the top plate was wiped clean and it looked nice and neat and like he had, you know, done some pre-cleaning, in fact, underneath all of that was leftover meat and gristle and fat. And as we had just been hanging out, we had invited in flies, unbeknownst to us, who had laid eggs. Now, we had lots of roommates, right? Not just three. And so for the last 10 years, whenever I thought of my friend Zach, I didn't think of, man, he's awesome. He's a great guy. I love hanging out with him. I thought, he can't be trusted, right? Because he's kind of sloppy, and he's inconsiderate. He's not very thoughtful. And so I just, you know, I don't know about that guy. He's cool, okay. Yeah, but I don't know about him, right? So I'm talking about resentments tonight. And whether we know it or not, all of us are holding on to resentments. In Regen, we define resentments as anger, bitterness, frustration, hatred, or angst that you have against a person, group, institution, or God. I think that settles it. That's everybody, right? And so, you know, some of them, guys, are big. Some of them are little. Some of them we think that we can just, you know, scoot by, it's not a big deal, right? And so this thing with my roommate, Zach, I mean, hey, it was just a little thing, right? Just a little chain. I'm just gonna wear it around my neck. It's not a big deal, man. Like, I don't even think about it. The only time I really think about it is, you know, the one time a year that somebody mentions his name, right? And so, I'm doing good. I don't really have a problem with resentment, okay? Now, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. So my parents loved me. They did a lot of good things. But despite them teaching me about Christ, teaching me the word of God, taking me to church, what I remember is the things that they did wrong, okay? And so growing up, you know, my dad, he had stuff of his own. And so I remember that he was oftentimes not emotionally available like I wanted him to be, okay? And so I remember one time he yelled at me when I was watching TV. Not a big deal. I mean, I was just watching TV, right? And so, there I go. I'll put that one on. And here's the deal. I think it's small at first, but then I realize there's another weight attached to it. And so my dad, I can't emphasize this enough, guys. He's a good man. And yet, there was a time when I was in the Boy Scouts, and some of the boys were picking on me. They were throwing a dodgeball, hitting me in the face, and laughing and joking around. And up pulls my dad to pick me up, and I run to him crying, thinking that I'm going to get, you know, a warm embrace from my father. And instead, I get, that's weak. Don't cry, right? Don't cry. That's weak. My mom, she was amazing, right? But one time she left me at school for over an hour and all the other kids left. The buses were gone, right? All the other kids, one by one, they were gone. And there I am. I'm sitting there. I'm the last person waiting for a ride. Where is my mom? Does she even know? Does she even know that I'm here? Does she even care about me? And I start hearing these lies. They don't care about you. They can't be trusted. You're going to keep them at arm's length. And so when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I decided, hey, I can't really trust my dad. My mom, you know, sometimes maybe, but I can't trust my dad. And there's another weight on my shoulders. And I realized through all this that, man, I think I'm doing okay, actually, right? I mean, I think I can cope. I start moving through high school, moving through junior high school, even into college, and there's friends that they don't want to hang out with me, right? Because I'm not cool enough for them. There's the guy that called me Pizza Face. There's the girls that didn't really like me. They didn't want to hang out. And so I learned, hey, you've hurt me, but now I'm going to hold you out here. You can't hurt me, okay? And I would have told you, if you had asked me, I would have told you, guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. My life is great, right? Look at me. I mean, I got thick skin, man. That's just life. Don't be a crybaby. Shake it off, right? But we know better, don't we? Because this is with us constantly. It's there every time I get up. It's there every time I wake up in the morning, and it's here. It's on me. When I look in the mirror, and I wonder, what am I doing? Why do I feel so hollow and so empty? It's because I'm doing everything I can to maintain just being cool, right? I don't want anybody to know that I'm stressed out, that I'm hurt, that I'm frustrated, that I'm mad at so many people. We do so much to hide it. Now, you might be thinking, hey, man, Noah, your testimony sounds pretty milquetoast, man. Like, seriously, that's all you got? Okay, I would have loved to have even just had a dad that could have gotten mad at me one time, right? Because when he was there, he was drunk or he was out carousing and I just never knew him, right? It would have been great to have a mom that forgot me at school because all my mom ever did was nag me about, you shouldn't eat that, you know? Look, you probably need to drop 5 pounds, right? Your parents know it sounds like they didn't pick favorites, okay? Hey, you weren't abused like I was. You weren't molested. You weren't taken advantage of, right? You don't know. And I would say, you're right. I don't know your story. I know you're in chains just like I am as we try to just manage and act like everything's okay. You might think to yourself, I don't really have resentments. I'm actually doing pretty good, you know? Have you ever experienced road rage? A little insider tip. You're not mad at the person that cuts you off, right? Like, can we admit that for a second? You're mad at the fact that you cannot control the world. You're getting emails from your boss. You're getting pounded by your client. Your wife is asking you for this. Your kids won't stop doing this. And you get in the car, and the one thing you think you can control, and then somebody cuts you off, right? And it's so frustrating. Resentment. I would ask you this. Who in your life, If you were at the grocery store, you're kind of going down the aisle, right? You turn the aisle, you see them, you're gonna turn and keep on walking, right? Act like, oh, hey, oh no, I didn't even see that, that's crazy. Hey, how's it going, man? I hate you. Seriously, resentment. What are your lists of reasons for why your life doesn't look the way you want it to? Right, fill in the blank for me. Man, my career was going on the up and up. I was crushing it. And then, right? Hey, I would actually have the most amazing marriage if my wife would stop. Right? We can resent our spouses, our kids, right? We can resent people that we love dearly that we're pouring ourselves into. And because they don't respond the way we think they do, they reach for that bottle again. They go, you know, they go out and they do that thing again. And there we are. We're stuck in the spot of going, man, I've served you so tirelessly. And you keep doing that, right? Or then we do it like passive aggressive style, like, and I've never done this, but you know, now I'm doing the dishes because I love you, you know, and I'm throwing things around. I'm gonna get out there and mow the lawn, see if you respect me then, right? Because I love you, right? That's resentment, guys. And so we're carrying this around day in and day out. I'll tell you a little bit more about me. So when I was in my 20s, I had what you might call a crash landing. So I left college, and I thought that I was going to kill it. And where did I end up? Face planted in the real world, right? Job to job, town to town, searching for significance and not being able to find it anywhere. And every revolution around the merry-go-round, I just got more and more frustrated, wondering, where is God? Then you have the porn addiction, exposed to porn when I was 7, struggled in shame and secrecy and isolation, wondering, what if anybody found out? Would they accept me? What would happen? The church I was in didn't exactly allow for people to open up, right? That was my excuse. I resented them for it. You know, but you might still be saying, hey, how exactly do you resent a porn addiction? Here's what I'd tell you guys. Because when you grow up hearing these stories about how big God is, how strong he is, and how good he is, you start to wonder, if he's really good, why hasn't he saved me? If he really loved me, would he not set me free? And in my 20s, I decided that either God didn't care about me, or that he was just too weak to help me. So I said, God, you can't hurt me again. I'm gonna do it on my own. Except I couldn't do it on my own. I mean, how can you get anywhere like this, right? I mean, look at me. But I thought I was great, guys. If you had asked me, I would have told you, no, I'm on the up and up. I promise you, man. Things are going great. Yeah, look at me. My career, no, that's taken away. My addiction, I can manage it. No, not really. And as I sit under the burden of that, getting more and more angry, I say, God, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you do something? Where are you, God? Do something. And I hear these words. A man's own folly ruins his life, but his heart rages against the Lord. Proverbs 19:3. And I realized that I'm here because of my own doing. Oh God, I'm sorry. Will you help me, God? And like that, I realized that he had, in fact, given me everything I needed to be set free. You see, resentments lie to us, guys. They tell us that if we keep people at arm's length, you've hurt me, I won't be hurt again, right? Fool me once, you know that saying. It's not gonna happen. I'm safe back behind those chains. I'm safe. If I build this wall around my heart, I'm safe here. But the truth of it is we are holding in all of this toxic, septic poison, this hatred in our hearts, and we're preventing God's mercy from flooding through us and healing us. See, resentments lie to us, they deceive us, they bind us up, they enslave us, and they will destroy you. I don't care how little you think it is. It'll grow. It's attached to something else, and it will destroy you. But here's what I want you to know, is that God, in his mercy, can set us free. He can deliver you. Now, you may be thinking, again, hey, my hurt, Noah, you don't understand, right? I'm a victim, right? I was taken advantage of. I was assaulted. And whatever your story is, hear me say this. Like, your pain is real, okay? The world, people, someone has hurt you. And it's not okay, right? It's not okay. But if you hold on to resentment, you're making it worse. And you're destroying yourself. And last, that's the one thing that you can actually control. You know, you can't control someone that's hurt you. You can control whether you hold on to resentments. So here's what I want to do. I want to read some scripture, and I want to talk about what the Bible says about resentment. And then I want to give you some ideas for how we can let go of them. So first off, what does the Bible say about resentment? Well, it doesn't use that word a whole lot, but what it does talk about a ton is forgiveness, okay? And so resentment, to redefine it, is just not forgiving, refusing to forgive. Okay, and so this passage comes from Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them how a disciple ought to walk and ought to live. And then Peter comes with this whiz-bang question. He's like, check this out, guys. Hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother that sins against me? Should I forgive him 7 times, right? Which sounds like a lot. Has anybody ever been sinned against by the same person 7 times? Every married person, raise their hand, okay? Yeah, I mean, it's hard to forgive 7 times in a row because the third time you're like, seriously? Okay, and so I'm with Peter, man. Seven sounds a lot, right? Jesus' response is, no, you don't get it. There's not a number to it, okay? Take 7, multiply it by 70. It doesn't matter. You keep forgiving him, okay? And then he tells this story. He says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is a weight, okay? Quite literally, it is a weight. It's about 75 pounds, which is near that right there. 75 pounds of precious metal. Now, I don't know what you earn in a year. I don't earn a whole lot, okay? And so 75 pounds of a precious metal would be 5, 10, 20 years of my salary to pay for, right? So it's a lot. Let me ask you this question. How many lifetimes would it take for you to repay 10,000 20 years of wages? Right? A lot. The point is, you can't repay it. So that's the point. You cannot repay it. This is way, way out of your league. So the servant is brought to him who owes him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything, right? Now, that's not true. We've just covered that. He could never do that. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarius is just a day's wage, okay? It's a silver coin. So 100 denarii. Think about how much do you make in a quarter, right? That's 90 days, okay? So he sees this, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, at the risk of being redundant, I want to retell that story, okay? So you and I owed our master 10,000 lifetimes of weight. We could never repay it. We would never be able to repay it. Given eternity, we could not repay a debt that we owe to an eternal king against whom we have committed atrocious crimes of rebellion and insurrection. So the king calls us in. And I want you to think about the moment that you realize, I'm gonna have to settle the score with this king. What am I gonna do? Your palms are sweaty. You've got a pit in your stomach. You're weak in the knees. I'm feeling nauseous already. Like I promise I wasn't intentionally quoting Eminem. But there we are, man. We're sweating. We're going, God, oh man, I can't do this. I can't do this. And God opens this book, and he says, "Oh, well, looks like the debt's been paid. You see, I made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God." So, yeah, that 10,000 talents, yeah, no, it's paid. Yeah, it's done. You're good. You're good. Now, thanks for showing up. Now, how do you feel in that moment? Amazing. Like, I am jumping for joy at this moment. I cannot believe that God forgave me. I was never gonna get out of debt. I was never gonna get out. I was stuck, man. I was dead. I was toast, and he forgave me. This is incredible. And so then I leave, and I see somebody that owes me, you know, what are you making in a quarter? I don't know. That's a vacation, right? That's maybe a down payment on a house. That's, I don't know, but I see somebody that owes me, and yeah, it hurts that he took that money. But man, guess what? I don't care, because I've been forgiven this incredible debt. Like it doesn't compute. It doesn't compute. We've been given so much. And so when we talk about forgiveness, we talk about letting go of resentments. I know you've been hurt. Without the gospel, forgiveness sounds crazy. But with the gospel, it is crazy not to, right? Think about that. You've been forgiven this immense debt that you would never, ever, 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 ever repay. And then you're gonna go around and you're gonna be mad at this guy because he invited maggots into your house, right? Or fill in the blank as he cut you off. It doesn't make sense. So Jesus gives us the tools that we need to walk away from resentment. I wanna give you three applications, okay? Three things that we can do now. So here they are. Number one, give grace. Forgive, okay? Forgive. Give them grace, man. Whatever they're going through, hey, they're no different than you, right? And so when I think about how much God's forgiven me, how can I stay angry? Now, forgiveness is step 8, and so if you're not on step 8, you might, you know, don't get ahead of yourself, right? Like, there's time. Some of this will sound crazy, like I said, but again, it'll make sense in time. But I do want to briefly define forgiveness. Forgiveness, number one, is not a feeling, okay? It's not a feeling. You don't wait until I feel like forgiving you to forgive. Forgiveness is a feeling. Can't get my words out. Forgiveness is a decision. I decide I'm done. I'm done being angry. It is a decision to relinquish the payment due. You're not saying that what they've done is okay or cool or fine or it didn't hurt me. What you're saying is, no, it did hurt, but I'm not gonna demand that you pay me back. Okay, so it's a letting go of the debt. And like I said, it seems crazy, but with Christ, it's crazy not to. So when I'm stuck and I'm having a hard time forgiving someone, I pray, Lord God, you love this person. Lord, may I see them like you do. Or I pray, specifically I pray, Lord God, help me to see my sin the way you see it. Because when I see that, it's really easy for me to get focused on how much you owe me. But when I see how much I owe God, it's impossible to hold on to that. So Lord, help me to see my sin. You've commanded me to forgive them. Help me to obey. And whatever it is, messy roommates, right? Pizza face, hurtful comments, okay? Man, let go. Forgive them. Next, give up your demand for justice. When we hold on to resentment, what we're doing is we're saying, you've hurt me and you must pay, and I'm gonna make sure that you pay. I'm gonna be the exactor of justice here, right? I'm gonna be the executioner, okay? You owe me. So give up your demand for justice. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so it's not my job to demand justice, it's his. And whenever I try to do God's job, it never goes well. So get out of the way. You can pray, Lord, you love this person more than I do, and you love me. And you have promised that you will avenge evil. I commit to trust you. So last, it's a G, go. So give grace, give up your demand for justice, and go. And again, if this is your first time hearing some of this stuff, I mean, let me just tell you, this is crazy, okay? And at the same time, walking with Jesus is crazy, right? But it's free. But it's the best life you'll ever have. Now, I would advise you, if you've been abused or that's part of your story, I'm not saying go immediately, go tomorrow. Process that with the people that you trust. Process that with your mentor, with your region group, with your community group, people in your life who are informed by the word of God and the spirit of God. Listen to them, okay? I'm not telling you, just go and tell that person what for, right? You hurt me and I'm gonna let you have it, right? That's not what this is for. This is to go and say, hey, I love you, I forgive you, but I want you to know because I want you to be reconciled to God. So go. When I was going through this process and the chains started coming off, I realized that a lot of them were tied back to my father. And so got to the point in the process where we make amends. And so I went to meet with my dad and I said, hey dad, you know, I've sinned against you and XYZ, will you forgive me? And it was great. I mean, it was a great, great conversation. But months went by and I realized I haven't said something, right? I need to say something else. And I didn't say it up front because I didn't want to, you know, drop a bomb on him, but at the same time, man, I've got to tell him. I've got to tell him. And I told you about when I was, you know, a teen, preteen, deciding, hey, I can't trust you, God, or I can't trust you, Dad. And I just knew that rift was still there. And so I called my dad and I said, hey, Dad, you know, I got to share some stuff with you. I don't really want to, It's gonna be painful for me to say. It's gonna be painful for you to hear. But I think we need to have this conversation if we want to move forward. Because I want a relationship with you, Dad. And he said, I'm game. Let's go. So I flew out. They were living in Alabama where we grew up. And we met up at the Waffle House. And I had taken my inventory. I had, seriously about 25 lines that were all dad, 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 dad. And but I had whittled it down to, hey, these are the ones that the themes or the real ones that I really remember. And I had 4 or 5, and I just shared them with my dad. And I said, here it is, Dad. And I can't tell you how freeing it was. When he through tears, looked at me and said, I can't believe I said that. I don't even remember saying that. I'm so sorry. I hate that I said that. Will you forgive me? And I got to say, Dad, I already have. Of course. I already have. I've let it go. It's dead. Now, fast forward to just a few years ago. My dad calls and he says, I've retired. Mom's retired. We're going to sell the house. We're going to move to Texas. We want to be close to you guys. And there was a time in my life that if I had heard that, I would have immediately started looking for jobs outside of Texas. I'm not joking. I couldn't stand to be around him. And yet, because of that conversation at the Waffle House, because I got to share with him my hurt and say, I don't want to hold on to this anymore. I want to let it go because I want to be obedient to Christ and because I love you. I was excited. I was really pumped. And now my folks, they're here. They're members of Watermark, which is crazy. Which is crazy. But the story is not that God's going to bring that person back to you in your life and they're going to become members of Watermark. But the story is that you are set free. Resentments lie to us. They tell you that you're safe and then they kill you. They kill you slowly or they kill you swiftly. It doesn't matter. They kill you. And Jesus wants to set you free. So give grace. Give up your demand for justice and go. Go to that person and be reconciled. So thank you guys. Let me pray for us. Lord God Almighty. Lord, would you help us? Would you move in our hearts in a way that only you can, Lord? The story, how we have owed you an immense weight, a burden that we could never, never repay. Lord, only you can convict us of that sin. Only you can show us how heavy that was. And so I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be pricked by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd move in us, and I pray that you would give us all that we need to move free, to let go of resentment, and to forgive those who have harmed us. Lord, we love you. In Christ we pray. Amen.